we were able to only spend time on first three petitions, that is praying for our eternal needs. And today we will look into prayer for earthly needs. That's our second point that we missed last Sunday. So, but we didn't get enough time to spend on, but since we have this luxury of spending more time on this passage, I want to give you a background about the passage and the gospel. The gospel, Matthew, is written by one of the disciples of Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew is a tax collector and he's a Jew, and he wrote to Jews saying, Jesus Christ is Messiah whom we are looking for. And then he quoted from Old Testament many passages saying, see, this has been fulfilled in Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Messiah. So the book outline goes like this. I outlined with 4 points. First four chapters is presentation of the king. And from chapters 4 to 16, we see proclamation of the kingdom by the king. And the third part is prophesying rejection of the king. And fourth, we see the rejection of the king in the final chapters 26 and 28. And we are in the part of proclamation of the kingdom by the king. So Jesus Christ is proclaiming his kingdom. He's preaching about his kingdom. And while preaching about his kingdom, he said, our kingdom is a righteous kingdom. And you should not be like the people in the world. And he showed differences with how the world is and how the kingdom of God is. And in this chapter, he starts with saying, don't do good to be seen by others. Do good so that Father might reward you. So do it in secret. And he says in verses 2 and 4, Jesus gives examples of the wrong kind of giving and the right kind of giving. And verses 5 and 6, he says, Jesus gives examples of wrong kind of prayer and right kind of prayer. And 7 to 13, we see the right kind of prayer that he is teaching us. And 14 to 15, he teaches importance of forgiveness in the kingdom of God. And verses 16 to 18, he gives a right way of fasting for God, hunger for God. And the motivation for prayer for us, even today, is not that we prayed less. Sammy said while preaching on kingdom prayer, he said the motivation of prayer is that the provision that we have in Christ. In Christ, we have everything. So you can go to God and ask in the name of Christ and we will receive it because we are asking in the name of Christ. So the motivation for our prayers is the provision that we have in Christ. And Christ teaches us how to pray. He says in verse 9, pray then like this. Pray then like this. This is the manner how we should pray. This is not to be repeated. You can repeat it, but with heart. This is the manner, the model prayer. Just because we flip through pictures of different countries on our mobile doesn't make us travelers. Just because we just repeated these verses doesn't mean that we really prayed. You should mean it. So we should pray in this manner. This is the model prayer. He says, pray in this manner. And how should we pray? He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. He is mingling eternity in every day. So when you put your feet on earth, focus your heart on eternity. That's what Christ is asking us to pray for. He said, pray for eternal needs first. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And remember, we are on earth. Ask for provision. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us as we have forgiven our debtors. And Lord, deliver us from the evil one. So he is mingling eternity with every day. And we have seen last week the first three petitions, the praying for the eternal needs. That's the first petition is fear of the Father, hallowed be your name. And the second petition, reign of the Father, your kingdom come. And the third petition, will of the Father, your will be done. But today we are looking at three earthly requests. And the first request is for our daily provision. Pray for our daily provision. He says, give us this day our daily bread. He says, Father is the one who is in power to give our food. The food that we have, the health that we have, the money that we have, everything is from the Father. And it is marvelous to understand that the God who created all universe, who is eternal, is considering you, considering your physical needs. He is concerned for your physical needs. Psalm 147:9 says, he gives to the beast its food and to young ravens which cry. Our daily bread, it is given by our Father. And it is hard for us, even for me in early Christian life, it has been hard to pray, give us this day my daily bread. Because I know I have money and I know my food is ready. But why should I pray, Lord, give me today my bread? You know, it is acknowledging that it is God who is giving us. If we are receiving anything from God, we have to be thankful for it. So this petition is acknowledging that God is the one who gives and thanking Him for giving what we have. And this petition does not sanctify our greed. You know, in the same chapter, in verses 19, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up your treasures on heaven. So this does not sanctify our greed. But Jesus Christ, he is specifically mentioning daily bread, the bread that we need for today, which means be content with what we have. Be content with food and shelter. And by implication, we can take that Jesus Christ is asking us to pray for health. Health meaning food, clothing, shelter, everything that comes what pertaining to our body. You know, we need a health and we need food for health. We need clothing, shelter, houses, good neighbors, good flats to stay in. And God is concerned about our needs. And some people really make big deal out of this. There are two extremes who say, no, we shouldn't pray for our earthly needs. This is spiritual bread. This is not physical bread. He is telling about spiritual bread. No. Jesus Christ is talking about physical bread, physical body. And there is another group who goes to other extreme and says, God is interested in giving you health, wealth and prosperity. Be happy. Ask God whatever you want on earth. No, Jesus Christ is teaching to be content. Today's bread. So when he says bread, we can imply that he is asking us to pray for food, clothing, shelter, whatever that is pertaining to our bread, body. Sorry. And Proverbs 38, Agar says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of God. We should be content with what we have. In the childhood, I used to struggle, as I said, to pray for daily bread when I already have. And my parents taught me a story. And I said, you think because we are working that we are making money and we are eating? No, it's God who is giving. And my parents told me a story like this, that goes like this. He said, there is a man who worked all day and then earned some money. And then he prepared food. And with a rebellious attitude, he closed his eyes and prayed, Lord, see, without your help, I am able to earn money and I am eating my food today. And then during that time, dog came and eat his food. And then when you open, there is nothing in the plate. Even when we have food, it is God who should allow us to eat. It is God who allows us to enjoy the riches that we have. We should realize that it is God who gives. In Genesis chapter 1 and 29, he says, God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you." Before he created food. He created you and me, he created food for us. He is concerned about our needs. And Genesis 9 and 5, non-veg came into our menu. Right? So God is concerned for our needs. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 to 21, Jesus fed 5,000 people. He has concern for our physical needs. And Matthew chapter 15, he fed 4,000 people. He has concern. And 1 Timothy 6, 8, Paul warns Timothy, "If we have food and covering, with this we shall be content." We shall be content. He has concern for our physical needs. So do pray for your physical needs, for health, food, shelter, clothing. But be content with what Christ has given for you. And the second request that Christ is asking us to pray for is work. When God says, Christ says, pray for daily bread, he's not asking you to be idle. When he said, don't worry about tomorrow, he's not saying, don't work. You know, it is God in the first place who worked. You remember Genesis chapter 1? First 6 days, God worked, right? And he took rest on the seventh day. And work is not something evil. If you remember Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, we read 29 just now, but the verse before, 28, before he said that this greenery is for you, in verse 28 he said, first he gave work. Verse 28, he said, God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the earth." He gave a work to do. Work is not evil. Of course, because of sin, work became like toil, but work is a blessing from God. God himself is working. He works. And it is sin for us to go to our bed with energy. We have to work hard for our living. We have to work hard. There is no excuse. It is sin for us to go to the bed with energy. We have to get tired of work. 2 Thessalonians 3:6, Paul 1 saying like this, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship we kept working night and day, so that we would not be a burden for any of you. Not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order that we offer ourselves as a model, example." We have to work. Christ, Lord Jesus Christ himself worked on this earth as a carpenter. We have to work. When God said don't worry for tomorrow, doesn't mean that don't work for tomorrow. We should work. Proverbs 12:11 says, "He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense." And 2 Timothy 5:8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those who are of his household, he has denied his faith and is worse than unbeliever." When Jesus Christ asked us to pray for the daily bread, he does not mean that don't work. We have to pray and then we have to work. So we can pray for jobs. We can pray for employment. We can pray for our education that helps us to get jobs. We can pray for good government through which we will get good jobs. We have to pray for everything. And daily, this is daily. And the second earthly petition, earthly need is that pray for forgiveness. That is praying for peace. Praying for peace. He says, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Forgiveness is foreign for this generation. Who is the hero in this generation? If you watch movies, the hero is the one who bullies, not one who forgives. You know, the one who forgives and loves another is seen as a weak person. But Bible teaches in different way. This powerful man is someone who forgives. God forgives. We have to forgive. The powerful man is the one who forgives. And John MacArthur said this. You can't be more like God, anything other than when you are forgiving somebody. And this is vice versa. When you are hating somebody, you can't be more like Satan. This is the best. When you forgive, you are acting like God. And when you are hating somebody, you are acting like Satan. Forgiveness is key. And as Christians, we live because of forgiveness that we received from Christ Jesus. And when Jesus Christ said here, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, this does not mean that we will lose our salvation if we don't forgive our brothers. See, when Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the cross, it is finished. He nailed it. All the sins, present, past, future, all the sins that we have done, He nailed it on the cross. There is nothing against you. And when you ask forgiveness from the Lord, all the record of your sins are cleared. Now you are adopted into the family. You were in the streets misbehaving, and then Father adopted you into the family. And now because you are in the family, you can't live the same life that you have lived on the streets. This is God's family. This is the kingdom of God. So there is certain discipline in this family. So if you mess up the relationship in the family, Father is not going to encourage. You have to deal with that. That's what Jesus Christ is telling. And it is a death warrant, you know, when you say, Lord, deal me as I dealt with my brothers. Because if you don't forgive your brothers, you're saying don't forgive me as well. This is the death warrant. But we have to forgive. When you are forgiven, when you understand the forgiveness that you received from the Lord, the liberty, that the freedom that we have in forgiveness, you will also think of forgiving others. Forgive and forgive, not everybody. Forgive and forgive. John chapter 13:35, Jesus Christ said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you are forgiven, then you will love. And your love that you have towards your brother will proclaim Christ. And Colossians 3:14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect body of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule over your hearts. Peace. Love between one another. Like-mindedness. That is what Christ is asking us to pray for. We have to pray daily for peace. Peace, one with brothers and with the Father. He says, forgive us, Father. He is asking to forgive. But he is saying, as we have forgiven our brothers. First, your forgiveness should be with your brothers. First, your forgiveness should be with your brothers. If you remember, 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul talks about bread and wine, and how should we be careful taking bread and wine. And we all think when he talks about that, it's about personal sin. The sin that we have. But you remember the context, 1 Corinthians 11, He's talking about the sin of divisions in the church. 1 Corinthians 11:8 he says, sorry, 11:30. For this reason, among you are weak and sick and number sleep. Because of the divisions in the church, there are many who are weak, physically, sick, physically, and even number sleep, which means death for Christians. This is unforgiveness, great sin, greatest, one of the greatest sins. God hates unforgiveness. You know, hatred is from the Satan. He is the one who prompts for unforgiveness. However, there is hope in Christ. Just by asking to forgive, Christ will forgive. When you first deal with your brother, is there anyone in your life that you are still holding the grudge? Forgiving doesn't mean that you are not feeling happy about the horrifying things that they have done towards you. But forgiving means you are just letting it go. Because Christ has forgiven me, showed me mercy, I will also show mercy on him. And you don't rewind all the time. You know what, I forgive you, but I still remember that you have done, that was, but anyway, I forgive you. And again you go to another brother, see, I have forgiven him, but he did that day, you know, he punched me in the face, but I have forgiven him, you know, but I have forgiven. Many people say that, they try to bring back again and again. No, we have to forget. It's in the memory, but you should not hold the grudge. Thomas Watson, Puritan, that's why said, what is forgiveness? He said like this, when we strive against all our thoughts of revenge, when we will not do our enemies mischief, but wish well to them, grieve at their calamities, pray for them, seek reconciliation with them, and show ourselves ready on all occasions to relieve them. Give relief. Even if you are abused, in Christ Jesus, forgive them. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven. God is our standard for forgiveness. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing one another and forgiving each other. Bearing one another means carrying weight. You know, carrying weight of your brother's sin. Whoever has complaint against everyone, just as Lord forgave you, so also you should. Remember, Paul and again reminds the standard for our forgiveness is how God has forgiven us. If God, being the most holy, is able to forgive us, how much more we should be? Luke 17:4, Jesus said, if he sins against you 7 times a day, then returns you 7 times, saying, I repent, forgive him. You forgive him. And how many times? 7 times 77. 77 times 7. Okay. I am very bad at maths. N number of times. If he punches you in face and says, sorry, forgive me, you forgive. And you don't judge him. Ah, no, you are... there is no sincere apology. I want sincere apology. Show me your fruits. No. If he says, forgive me, you forgive. N number of times. And when you have peace with the brothers, then you can ask God, forgive me, Father. You have to have peace with the Father. And here, the forgiveness is from the Father, not the judge. You know, the judge has declared us righteous. When Christ paid for our sins were forgiven, finished. Now, as I mentioned, we are in the family. And now, daily, when we sin, we have to go to the Father and make our relationship with him right. So he disciplines us as a father. And when you ask for forgiveness, you can escape from his discipline. And Hebrews chapter 12, the author reminds that You have forgotten that exhortation which addressed you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if your father discipline, but if you are without discipline of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we have respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. Father disciplines so that we might be like him. We might be like Christ. And Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes, then we will find compassion. You know, you can't have intimacy with the Lord if you hold on grudges. If you don't make peace with your brothers and father, you can't be intimate with the Lord. Mark chapter 11 verse 25 says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive your transgression. Whenever you pray, you have to forgive. If you are holding any grudges against somebody, you just forgive them and then come to prayer. Father is not going to listen to your prayers. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus Christ gives a parable to teach about forgiveness. He says that there are two people. There is a ruler who has forgiven someone who took loan from him of 10,000 talents, and then the same guy goes out and then puts another brother of his for taking 100 denarii and not paying. And then ruler, knowing that, he puts him in jail and says, do not release him until he pays the last talent. And Jesus Christ, at the end, he told like this, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. You want to be forgiven, brother, today? You want to be intimate with the Lord? You want to be in peace? Then forgive. No excuses. Forgive. That's our daily need. We need it daily. And the third petition of our earthly needs is found in verse 13 saying, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Praying daily for purity. Praying daily for purity. We have to be pure and holy. As sons of God, we should be holy. 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. You know, if you are of your father, there will be likeness of your father. I have curly hair, that's because my father had. I am dark because my father is dark. I am of this height, and me and my father are same height. If you are son of God, you will have the character of God. You should be holy because I am holy. You can't say that I am Christian and live in sin. You can't play with sin and say, I am Christian. You have to live with purity. Galatians 1:3 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from the present evil age. Christ died for our sins. That's huge. He died so that he might redeem us, rescue us from this present evil age. And how can we play with sin if Christ had died for the sin? And we have to pray for the deliverance for sins. And he says, lead us not into temptation. And we read from James saying that James reminds in James chapter 1 verse 13 said, God doesn't tempt by evil. But here, Jesus Christ is asking us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Does God lead us into temptation? No. But what Jesus is saying, he is not saying, God, don't tempt me. He is not saying, God, don't tempt me. He is saying, lead me not into temptation. Lead me out of temptation. You know, you have tests and trials on this earth. That's why James says in chapter 1 verse 2, consider it all joy when you face various kinds of trials, because trials produces endurance. So, it's a test for us. And we are praying that God might lead us out of temptation. That's what Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 10:31. We have to pray that God will lead out of temptation. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as it is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what is able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape. For the way of escape, you have to pray for that. Lord, lead me out of temptation. And you wake up early in the morning. Do you feel weak? We are in a sinful world. We are weak. There is nothing that we can do by our own selves. It is through the grace of Christ we are not able to do. When we look at sins of others, we'll say, this is very, he's becoming Christian, he's stealing money here. Are becoming Christian, he is lying here. Being a Christian, he is doing this and that, yeah. Of course, I do sin once in a while, but I am not such kind of person. We tend to look ourselves so great. But let me tell you, brothers, you will be worse if God doesn't help you. It is because of Christ's grace, God's grace, you are what you are today. And we have to pray for that brother, that he will also grow in Christ, overcome the sins that he is battling in his life. But we should not think that we are because of our self-power or self-willpower. We have to realize that we are weak and pray that God lead us not into temptation. You remember Peter? When Jesus Christ said, you will deny me? No, Lord. Till death I will follow you. What happened? He failed. We will also fail. We are weak. We need Christ every day. 2 Peter 2:9 says, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. Lord knows how to rescue from godly from. You are struggling in a sin. Are you struggling in a sin? Are you battling? If you are trying to overcome, you cannot overcome by yourself. You have to go to the Lord and ask to deliver from the sin. And not only deliverance from sin, deliverance from Satan. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. The evil, the Satan. Satan, Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober spirit, but be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know, you are safe. If you are a Christian, if you are repented for your sins, you are safe. Your soul is safe. Christ redeemed you. But still, while you live on this earth, the Satan, the tempter, the deceiver, he will try to deceive you and make you weak on this earth. But you are safe in the hands of Christ. But you should not give yourself to the Satan by committing sin. So Peter commands the believers to be sober and be alert. And what should we do? We should not fight with Satan. Peter says, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of the suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. If you remember, even Christ went through this experience. Remember Matthew chapter 4, during the wilderness, when he was fasting and praying, the tempter came and tempted him. He will try to tempt you as well. we have to pray to God that God will protect us from this evil one's deception, temptations. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another day by day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, this deceitfulness of sin is from the Satan. And God has provided this fellowship of church so that he might protect us. How often we fellowship with the brothers? This is the means how God delivers from Satan, from the deception. Here you will hear the word of God and be aware. We have to be renewed in our mind with the word of God. Otherwise Satan will deceive us. And the second medium that God has given for us so that we might be delivered from Satan is the word of God. John 17:17, Jesus Christ prayed, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth, Lord. I am praying not for the world, but for these who are in the world, that you will protect them from the world. Word of God protects you. God will help you through the word of God. How much time we are spending on the word of God and the fellowship that we have in Christ. These are the two means how God protects us, delivers us from Satan. And to conclude, I want to read from Psalms 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. If you remember, I just want to give you a small story, or the video that I watched recently on YouTube. There was a family, they went for a port, and then they're watching the sea lion, and then they were at distance beginning, and then they wanted to go closer, and they let their child sit on the table which is close to sea lion. You know what the sea lion did? Went and snatched the baby and took into the water. And the rescuer directly jumped in the water and took her out, and then family ran away from that place. Someone is taking video. And the child and the family, they don't want to go that side. Christ also snatched you out from the hands of Satan and sin. If you really understand the horror of sin, the sinfulness of yourself and of the world, you will never play with the sin. You will know the weakness that is in you, and you will pray daily, God, deliver me. Lead me not into temptation. Lead me out of temptation. Protect me from Satan. And then you will also use the medium that God has given, that is the church and the word of God, to be protected. If you understand the horror of the sin that is in us. So we should pray daily to God that he will give us our daily bread for our bodies. And we should pray daily for peace, to have peace with the brothers. And we should pray daily for the purity, because it is God alone who has authority to give, power to give, and love to give. Because it is God alone has power to forgive our sins and heart to forgive. Because God alone can deliver us from sins and Satan. Let's pray. Father, I come before you knowing that I am weak. I pray that you will help me and also the Cornerstone Church, each one of us here, that we will pray daily to you for your glory. And I pray that each one of us will depend on you, Father, for our earthly needs and also for our eternal needs. I pray, Lord, that we will understand the horror of the sin that is in the world, and we will run to you daily, Father, and protect us from the evil one, Father. I submit Cornerstone and myself into your hands. Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.